My title is A Broken and Contrite Heart. I would like to start by reading some of Psalm 147, verse 1 to 6. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord hath built up Jerusalem, he hath gathered together the outcasts of Israel. He has healed the broken in heart and binded up their wounds. The margin for wounds has griefs. Verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars, he calls them all by their names. Great is our God, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Here we have the Great One, whose names all the multitudes of the stars, whose power and understanding is infinite. Yet he healeth the brokenhearted. Surely he is worthy of our praise. Psalm 51, David desired a clean heart and a right spirit within him. After Nathan the prophet told him of his wrong, after his episode with Bathsheba. Verses 16 and 17, he says, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. The word contrite is used only five times according to Young's Concordance, and it means bruised or smitten, and comes from an Old Testament word, D-A-K-K-A, or words very similar. The word broken is used a large number of times for many different words, mainly in the Old Testament. The meaning is shivered or shattered mainly. Vine's dictionary says to rub together and so to shatter, shiver, break in pieces by crushing, or similar meanings. I would like us to consider some groups and individuals who were in this condition and some who did not respond in this way to their experiences or conditions. Let's first look at Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 to 16. Although this was written to Israel at old times, there is many lessons from it for God's people of all ages and times. Ezekiel 34, verse 11 to 16 reads, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. I'll bring them out from people and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land and feed them there upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of that country. And I'll feed them in good pastures, and upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There they shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I'll feed my flock, I'll cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. I'll seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which is broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I'll feed them with judgment. So here we see how God will provide for his scattered people of Israel and return them to their own country and rich pastures and to be at rest, and will build up that which is broken and help the sick. Our Lord Jesus had this purpose of helpfulness throughout his ministry, as revealed in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19. When he went into the synagogue in Nazareth and stood up for to read, and there was given him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened it at the place where it was written in Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, which reads, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath appointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to build up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to open the prison to them that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he had finished, he sat down, and the eyes of all those present were fixed upon him. And he said unto them, This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness of the wonder of the gracious words that he had proceeded out of his mouth. They demanded him to do great works that there in his hometown, as they had heard he had done in Capernaum. And in verse 24, he said, Verily no prophet is accepted in his own town. He gave them a couple of examples, and when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath. From verse 28 of Luke 4, And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him to the brow of the hill where on the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went his way. This shows how they were not of the right attitude of heart when they were reproved. Jesus had other experiences like this and went his way until his time was up after 3.5 years, when he allowed himself to be taken by the authorities. They were astonished at his teachings, and his word was with power. But still they had trouble remaining interested in Jesus and having faith in him. He said, Narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there would be who would find it. But there was a few who were found, who would make up his disciples. One of these was Nathanael, whom Philip told of Jesus of Nazareth and the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in him is no God. John 1:45-49, Nathanael said unto him, How did you know me? Jesus said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. So here was one who had no guile and was sincere, even if he doubted that any good could come out of Nazareth. Another individual, who was a Gentile but was devout and prayed to God always, was Cornelius, a centurion of a band called the Italian Band, Acts 10:1. It doesn't say him or Nathanael had a broken or contrite heart, but maybe in their past lives they had experiences that brought them to their present condition. Or maybe they were like Joseph and Daniel, devout from their youth. Verse 2 tells us Cornelius was a devout man, and one who feared God and all his house, and gave much alms or generous help to the people, and prayed to God always. All the 48 verses of Acts 10 tell us of Cornelius and St. Peter and their visions, how Peter was shown a vessel like a net containing four-footed beasts, wild animals, creeping things, fowls of the air, and was told to rise, kill and eat. But he said, Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And this was done 3 times. Earlier, Cornelius saw a vision and was told to send men to seek for Simon Peter, who was lodging with Simon the tanner by the sea. Peter went with them to Cornelius' home, where his kinsmen and friends were waiting. And Cornelius fell down at Peter's feet. But he said, Stand up, I am also a man. He told Peter of the vision he had had and sent for him. Verses 34-48, Peter replied, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. The word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Christ Jesus. I say ye know that which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good, for God was with him. But they slew him and hanged him on a tree, raising him up on the third day. God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even us, whom did eat and drink with him. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be a judge, be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him should receive remission of sins. And while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter asked, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit the same as us? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So here we have the record of the first Gentile coming to be a follower of Christ by receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of God visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. From Acts 15:14. Two others who had broken and contrite hearts, bruised or shattered hearts from things they did, were St. Peter and St. Paul. Luke 22:31-34. The Lord Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter said, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death. Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt deny me three times. Knew him. Later in Luke 22:54-62, it tells of the three times Peter denied he knew Jesus. The last time was about an hour after the other two, when another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. Verse 60, Peter said, I know not what thou sayest, and immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked unto Peter, and he remembered the words of the Lord, that before the cock crow he would deny him thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. One translation says, burst into bitter tears. This broken and contrite experience converted him to be able to strengthen his brethren, and he carried out that for the rest of his life. St. Paul's experience comes from a very different background. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, taught under Gamaliel, persecuted the early church of God beyond measure, and wasted it, even consenting to the stoning of Stephen. Acts 8:1-3. In Acts 9:1-20, it tells of Paul's threatening and slaughtering against the early church, binding men and women to bring to Jerusalem. On the way to Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven shined about him, and a voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He, trembling and astonished, said, What will you have me to do? The Lord said, Go in the city, and it shall be told what you must do. He could not see for 3 days, and had to be led by the hand. Meanwhile, the Lord had sent Ananias, a disciple, to meet up with Saul at the home of Judas in the street called Straight. Ananias was hesitant of going, for he had heard many times of the evil Saul had done to his saints. But the Lord said, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name unto the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went and restored his sight, and is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he arose and was baptized. After 7 days with the disciples at Damascus, he straightway preached Christ in the synagogues. In another place he says, he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. These two experiences of St. Peter and St. Paul are good examples of Jesus and his heavenly Father's dealings with a broken, contrite, and converted heart, as Isaiah 57:15 tells us. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. What a privilege it is, brethren, to be in contact with such an exalted being. Let us now look at Zedekiah, the last king in Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 11 to 13. Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke for the mouth was the mouth of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck, and he hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. He was very stiff-necked and would not humble himself. The next 8 verses tell us that the priests and the people were just as bad. They transgressed after the abomination of the heathen, polluted the house of the Lord and God, polluted the house of the Lord, and God sent them messengers in his compassion for them, that they mocked these messengers, despised their word, misused his prophets, till there was no remedy. And the wrath of God brought the king of the Chaldeans upon them. They slew all the young men and maidens, old and stooped, took all their treasures to Babylon, burnt the house of God and all the palaces. Any surviving people were taken as servants into the land until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For the land lay desolate to keep Sabbath till 70 years. There are 2 groups recorded in Acts who had very different responsive hearts. One group is described in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost and the recipients began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit prompted their utterances. At that time there were many devout Jews and proselytes in Jerusalem who heard the Galileans speak in their own language and were amazed. Others mocked, saying, These are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, said, verse 15, 17, "These are not drunken as ye suppose, for it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days of God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Peter tells them much about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and how now he is at the right hand of God. Acts 2:37-38. "When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized that same day. There was added unto them about 3,000 souls. Here we have this large number of whose hearts were pricked, a broken and contrite heart for feeling at what had been done or what they had partaken of. In Matthew 12:20, Jesus said, A bruised reed shall not be broken, and a smoking flax shall not he not quench, till he has sent forth judgment unto victory. This shows any who have the right attitude, though crushed or bruised, that has a smoking hope of faith, Jesus will help and nourish to overcoming victory. What a saviour. The other group were involved with Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, who did great wonders and miracles among the people, and who's disputing with, and those disputing with him were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. The elders and scribes came upon him, cast him, caught him, and brought him before the council. Acts 6:12-15. And all that were in the council looked steadfastly on him, and saw his face as had been the face of an angel. Then the high priest said unto him, Are these things so? Then Stephen recounted their history from Father Abraham through his descendants, then Moses' upbringing and experiences at the burning bush, coming out of Egypt, the Red Sea, 40 years in the wilderness, and they made sacrifices to an idol made with their own hands. I'm just skipping through some of these verses of the main points. They had the tabernacle with them, made according to God's instruction to Moses, until David desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Israel. But Solomon was allowed to build it, but God dwells not in buildings made with hands. Heaven is his throne, and earth is his footstool. Acts 7:47-49 and 51. And Stephen says, Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart and ears, do you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did? So do you. 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and slain? Them which showed before the coming of the Just One, whom ye have now been now the betrayers and murderers. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing by his right hand. Then they cried with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran on him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. Stephen, kneeling down, cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," and he fell asleep. To verse 60. We see back in verse 54, it says that they were cut to the heart. But this is not a remorseful or repentant attitude like ones on the day of Pentecost. They didn't have a contrite or broken heart. They were angry at what he said and rushed him out of the city and stoned him to death. There seems to be some similar attitude at the end of this age. In Revelation chapter 9, 12 and 13, under the second row, when the sixth angel blows his trumpet, verse 20 and 21 says, "But the rest of the men were not killed by the plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, silver and brass and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." These things seem to be flourishing in this present evil world. Also in Revelation chapter 16, verse 8 to 11, under the fourth and fifth plague, when they were poured out, verse 9 to 11, those say they blaspheme the name of God and repented not of their deeds or to give him glory. So then the sixth and seventh vial of Baal were poured out, fulfilling Armageddon and God's wrath. We have seen many different types of groups or individuals who reacted differently, either with a contrite heart or repent, or on the other hand to continue in their determined way. To finish, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, it reads, "His adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." Another translation says, "To God's eyes, beyond price." Although this is written to the sisters, it applies to the brothers also. What a condition to strive for, that which is in the sight of God of great price, or beyond price. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. He is the Holy One who inhabiteth eternity, who knows all the stars by name, who counteth the hairs of our head, who dwells for those also who have a broken and contrite heart. He healeth the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. He lifteth up the meek. He is surely worthy of our praise. What a blessed condition to be in. Amen.